Bible tells us that God loves us. God loves the world. I don't want to redo the whole sermon. Where it ended up was in 1 Corinthians. And I did that deliberately because I was working on a series at the time. And today's sermon is a continuation of that. So we ended up in 1 Corinthians. We read part of chapter 13, where it defines love as something that we need to figure out how to attain, because life without love leaves us quite useless. Paul says, if you don't have love and you can talk all day long, you're just a big old gong. If you don't have love but you have prophetic powers, you're nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How we ended there was that this is both incredibly encouraging and incredibly convicting. And we illustrated that by doing this. George is patient. George is kind. George is... You don't have to go very far, do we? But it's encouraging because now we know, because of scriptures, that there is one who is love. So if we read the same verses this way, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. Jesus does not insist on his own way, is not irritable or resentful. Jesus does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Reading that way, in light of the fact that the Bible tells us God first loved us, opens up a whole new world of possibility for us living in love. Today, we're going to focus on love is patient. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have loved us. We thank you that we have the ultimate example in Jesus. We pray that you would help us to hear your word, to live your word, that others may see the love of God in us and be drawn to Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen. Paul presents patience as the premier expression of love. It's at the top of the list that he gives us in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Now, I don't dwell a lot on Greek stuff in sermons, but just to draw out some of the implications here, in using this word, Paul is giving a picture. Part of the picture is this. If you're picturing a need for a cup of tea and you put a kettle on and you turn the burner on, patience can be defined as taking a long time to boil. Think about that kettle boiling. What determines how fast it boils? Primarily, how high you turn the heat up. Water boils more quickly when the flame is on high. It boils more slowly when we turn it down. So if you're not in a hurry for your cup of tea, Patience keeps the burner on low. Patience isn't naive. Patience doesn't ignore bad behavior. Patience, however, does keep the burner on low. Patience waits. Patience listens. Patience is slow to boil. Patience is how God treats us. Peter agrees with Paul. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And he goes on in verse 15, "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him." God treats us with patience. And according to Jesus, we are to treat others with patience. Again, I want to illustrate with an illustration in Jesus' life. Peter came to him one day. You'll find this in Matthew 18. Peter came to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I will forgive him? As many as 7 times 7? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And then he gives him another story. Jesus loved stories. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. We'll come back to that little detail. "And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him that debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.'" Does that sound familiar? "But he refused, and he went and he put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they reported to their master all that had taken place. Then their master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you who do not forgive your brother from your heart." That's quite a tie-in. Love, forgiveness, and patience. Did you catch that in there? I don't know how many times in my life I've read that account. But quite honestly, when I was studying for this and reading someone else commentating on it, was the first time that I actually paid attention to the fact that patience was part of this story that Jesus told. In fact, this is the only time that Jesus makes use of the word patience in his teaching, and he uses it twice here and nowhere else. Wait a minute. What's he trying to tell us? The parable is about forgiveness, and patience makes a surprising appearance in the middle of it. There's an aspect where we all receive the benefits of God's patience. Remember that debt? 10,000 talents. Many of you probably have footnotes in your Bible. some of you will see at the bottom of the page, that it says that a talent was equivalent to about 20 years' worth of a laborer's life, time and effort. 20 years for one. Add a two and another zero. That's 200,000 years worth of debt. In contrast, the man that he went off to choke owed him 100 days worth. A denarii was about a day's worth of labor. Now, the point of that is not that we need to do the math to compare. The point is that what God has forgiven us is so great, and what we refuse to forgive one another is so paltry compared to it, that we need to stop and think about it. Because we are the ones in the story that receive forgiveness, that enjoy God's patience as we continually offend Him. We are also the ones that are inclined to run off and choke the closest person that has crossed our path wrongly. The warning, and I would encourage you, go away and study this more because it's part of the sermon today and I'm using it as an illustration, but the warning is clear. The implication is clear. Figure out what it means to be patient and to forgive one another, to live in love, because the result of not doing so is death. And we can say, whew, well, fortunately, God has forgiven us and we're not going to end up there. That's true. But have you ever noticed someone who lives their life in impatience? It would seem that they're just as much in a prison as the guy that gets thrown there until he can pay his debt. Because they've made bars for themselves. They can't see past them. They can't get out of them. Because they're not fully receiving God's patience. They're not understanding God's patience. When we live that way, not understanding God's patience in my life, then how can I possibly extend that patience to someone else? The good news is, God does more than demand our patience. God offers us patience, His patience. Paul wrote to the Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience. God says to us, here is a tree for you that you can eat from. Does that sound vaguely familiar? It should. Because a long time ago, we started eating from the wrong tree. And here we have another opportunity to eat from the right tree. God says, here's a tree that you can eat from. It has all kinds of good fruit. One of those fruit is patience. Hard question. Have you asked God to give you some fruit? Well, you know, I did once, but what? Did you grow impatient in the asking? Or did you keep asking? Did you keep hoping? Did you keep expecting that God will give you the fruit that He promised? Solution? Ask. Ask God again and again and again. God won't grow impatient with your honest asking. And you will receive patience because He promises it. Patience is more than a virtue that we need to attain so that we can stand in long lines or sit in traffic that holds us up. Max Lucado, pastor and author, writes, "Patience is the red carpet upon which God's grace approaches us." And so we are to attain it so that we can deliver it to others. Ask the Apostle Paul to explain love. First thing out of his mouth is, love is patient. Forget the rest of the list for the moment. Love is patient. My work is cut out for me. It's easy to be prone to impatience. And we're not allowed to blame that on temperament or circumstance or heritage, the color of my hair, the lack of my hair, whatever the excuse that we give it, because that's the way I am. We're not allowed. Patience is the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in us. Impatience is the fruit of selfishness. Selfishness is, quite honestly, according to Scripture, ugly. And far too often an accurate description of my life. Of my fallen, depraved nature, which wants all of creation to serve me. My demands, my needs, like we understand that word. Selfishness is the arch enemy of love. John Piper writes this: selfishness seeks its own private happiness at the expense of others. Love seeks its happiness in the happiness of the beloved. That's how God describes us. It will even suffer and die for the beloved in order that its joy might be full in the life, the purity of the beloved. Remember Hebrews? Jesus is described as looking forward with joy through the suffering at what He was doing for us. Love is patient because patience requires that dying to our selfishness. It means, if I'm a little guy growing up, that I need to learn to be patient with my sister who took my toy, or my brother who just pulled the head off of my doll. Patience requires moms and dads to discipline in a manner that glorifies God. It's really easy to blow up. And when we fail, patience requires that we sit our children down and say, "Forgive me." Patience says, when hubby gets home through the door, I greet him at the door with a kiss. Patience says to hubby, "Don't go find a chair and a newspaper or whatever it is that you do." We go through life rubbing up against one another. And we are instructed to do that patiently. You got your pens? Homework. Whirlwind tour. Just a few verses for you to look up to drive this home to us. The Bible says that we are to patiently bear one another with one another in love. Ephesians 4:2. We are taught in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 to be patient with them all. Who was that? That was the idle, the faint-hearted, and the weak. Do you get irritated in teaching those around you? If you are, you maybe need to change category, because now you've become part of the faint-hearted and the weak. 2 Timothy 4:2, patience in reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. Paul actually uses the word, practice that with complete patience. Wow. Romans 12:12. We need to be patient in tribulation. 2 Corinthians 1:6. We need to learn to be patiently enduring sufferings. 2 Timothy 2:24. We need to learn to be patiently enduring evil. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Hebrews 6:12. Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. One more. James 5:7. We need to learn to be patient until the coming of the Lord. So what's the point? Well, the point is there are no loopholes. Love is patient. And so we are to receive God's patience in such a manner as to live in patience our whole lifetime. We are to be patient with people. We are to be patient with pain. We are to be patient with evil. We are to be patient with God. Now, does that sound odd to your ears? Have you ever been impatient with God? See, we have this thing that we've battled with since the beginning of the fall. We want to interpret life according to my own standard. And so some days, by our words and actions, we would convict God of having a substandard in patience, in love, when we act that way. We need to stop when that happens and ask God for forgiveness and say, help me to see patience with the right eyes. so that my patience begins to look like God's patience. And not be asking God to try and look like my patience, because we really don't want that. Do we want God to treat us the way that the servant treated the second servant in Jesus' parable? Because when we don't understand and receive and act, really, that's what we're saying. So patience requires both faith and humility. It requires that whenever things go differently than we envision or wish, we still believe that God is working all things for good. That God will complete all the good things that He began in us. Do these sound familiar? These are promises. That we can trust Him because our understanding is incomplete and inaccurate at best. And He is the true gauge of all that is right and perfect. And yes, patience is not permissive. Patience doesn't think sin or injustice is okay. But neither is patience passive. It doesn't just do nothing. It is a relentless trust in all that we do and all that we can do that God will deal with everything in perfect justice and that He will accomplish His purposes, all His purposes. So that means that we don't need to live our lives with the burner on high. Let God control the burner. Ultimately, love is patient because God is patient. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." That's some of what we were singing about. That's why we're able to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. So, we all have an opportunity today, this week. In fact, we'll have multiple opportunities to lay down our lives for the sake of Christ. And it will come when we're tempted to be impatient, whether you're at home, having a disagreement with your kids or your spouse, whether it's at work, whether it's on the way to work, whether it's in the grocery store and the lines are too long. We'll have an opportunity. The moment that that comes, we are given the invitation by God to be loving and patient. What do we do? Again, I'll remind us of the good news. The good news is not if, but when we fail. We don't need to fear condemnation because Christ has paid for our sin. So we get up. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for patience. We repent of our failure to God and others and rejoice in God's goodness to us, God's forgiveness and patience to us, and we press on and continue to work on understanding God's patience and implementing God's patience. And that's a love worth living. End with one thought penned by J.I. Packer. Patience is the Christ-like reaction to all that is maddening. Let's go in God's patience. Amen.